It's being called a $65 billion industry just waiting to be born. And when you hear numbers like that, it does have a way of getting your attention. Not necessarily an easy thing to do yet, because what we're talking about that could bring those riches is about a mile and a half underground. It's called potash. And if you don't know what that is, we're about to learn a lot more about it with Ted Pagano, who is CEO of the Michigan Potash Company. Mr. Pagano, good to have you with us.
Thank you, guys. Sure appreciate the invitation.
Now, as I understand it, this is a commodity that is it's potassium chloride, and it's used in fertilizer, correct?
That is correct. In fact, it's used by most every agricultural farmer within the state of Michigan and the entire surrounding United States, and it also happens to be one of the tightest controlled commodities in the world.
The problem is we don't produce much of it here in this country. I know that much of what we get for our farmers has to be brought in from elsewhere, correct?
That is correct. In fact, in the United States, our need is roughly 10 million tons a year, and we domestically produce roughly 300,000 tons. That outstanding balance, then, is supplied by importers such as Russia, Belarus, and Canada, principally.
Well, we like the Canadians, but we're not very fond of the Russians right now, just saying. It would be nice if we could produce it locally. Tell us about Michigan's deposits of potash.
Sure. I am the spokesman for this company, but this effort actually began in 1980, for which I'm really just a flag carrier for the company that established and planted the Hersey facility in 1989. And this became one of the only three potash-producing centers within the United States, but the one with the greatest potential promise, because what they discovered in 1989 was virtually the world's highest-grade ore lying under western Michigan within the United States Corn Belt. So what makes this so unique is the sustainable advantage that Michigan particularly has to supply not only itself, but its surrounding neighbors for a product that is desperately needed.
So let me ask you, this sounds like a selfish question, but for Michiganders, what's in it for us? If you begin producing this, is it like oil and gas? Will there be royalties if it's coming out of state lands? Will you drill a number of wells in different places so we'll see royalties paid to farmers that happen to have this under their surface?
That is correct. So the Michigan Project is a community effort to begin with and a community effort to end with. So we take a mineral lease where we pay our leasers an upfront bonus and provide them with a royalty share to give back to them what is rightfully theirs to begin with, but we provide the capital and the upfront money to bring the possible project to fruition. So not only do the farmers and lessors become immediate beneficiaries, but also the surrounding community as well, with a potential increase in the domestic tax, industrial tax base, to complement.
Well, I was there to cover the oil and gas boom in the early 1980s up in Misaukee County and Otsego, and it's amazing what it can do for those communities and for the state coffers as well. I know that the one wrinkle in this is it's a little like fracking in that it requires a great deal of groundwater in order to flush out the potash. So is that water recyclable, or how do we do it to minimize the damage, or I should say the extraction to our water table?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I want to clarify one thing. We certainly do not frack. What we are doing is simply introducing water to dissolve a food grade and make a food grade product, something that we utilize for our crops, but we also make a food grade salt as a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
But the process in which we employ is actually one of the most state of the art, sophisticated industrial processes in the world to make a product very, very efficiently. So the water use that we use, I would actually like to counter say that, in fact, the water use that we use is roughly less than a single irrigation pivot once we are up and running. So for the exchange of less than what an irrigation pivot might use, we can supply fertilizer for all of Michigan, most of northern Indiana, and portions of Ohio.
Okay.
So it is, by bar none, no questions asked, one of the most sophisticated, state-of-the-art water recycling technologies in the world.
And I've only got 60 seconds, Mr. Pagano, but when will we see this begin to truly be developed and be able to access these minerals?
Well, it's the beginning of a 100 to 150-year project. Let's call it that. The reserve
that
we control is very long-dated, and we still have T's to cross and I's to dot. We need to make sure everything is conceptually done before I endeavor to overpromise. One thing that I can assure you, though, that if we don't begin shortly, the rock isn't going away, and the opportunity will sustain itself.
No, and we would like to become not an importer of this product, but because it's so strategic in terms of feeding ourselves and fertilizer, we want that to be a domestic product. So we certainly understand the strategic value as well. Ted Pagano, thanks so much for being with us. You have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Guy. I sure appreciate your interest.
And we'll look forward to talking to you in the future. Much more on The Guy Gordon Show when we come back.